Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, we are the AmeriChicks. I am Kim Munson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And we hope you are having a terrific Thursday. If you are stuck in traffic, you are in luck because we've got a heck of a show today.
You could sell a red popsicle to a lady with white gloves, telling them it's all right to be stuck in traffic.
It is, because we're going to be talking with Joshua Scharf here, starting in the second segment. Joshua Scharf is a real watchdog regarding PARA. And if you don't know what PARA is, it's the Public Employees Retirement Association here in Colorado. And you should care about it because it is like the teacher's retirement, public employee's retirement, and the taxpayer pays a lot into it. So it's going to be great to have Joshua here to kind of break this down because it is very, very important. But we are the AmeriChicks. That's where you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and check out our website, AmeriChicks.com, and go on and in the form submission, put in your information. We do a really great email once a week to let you know what's coming up throughout the week, and we'll get you on that list so that you know everything that's happening. Right?
Right.
Okay, good,
and
Molly.
We'd love to hear what you think about all that.
Yeah. So can I jump in with what's on my radar?
Sure.
Or do you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This Douglas County School Board race. You know, it is really, really important, and it is getting really rocking and rolling right now. We just found out earlier this week from campaign finance reports that the union out of Washington, D.C., one of the teachers' unions out of Washington, D.C., dumped in $300,000 into this race. And, you know, Molly, we talk about a battle of ideas. We talk about what we do is we're sleuths for truth. We educate, inspire, and engage, and we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. But what is very troubling is when people aren't honest about their ideas. Their ideas really don't work. People don't really want those ideas, and so they don't tell the truth about those ideas. And we're seeing that happen right here in Douglas County. The opposition to the Elevate slate, is Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Grant Nelson, and Deborah Scheffel. The opposition realizes that this Elevate slate, Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant, have the better ideas. And so that's why they are saying that they agree to those ideas. But when you really peel it away and you look at the track record of the people that are supporting them, that is not the case. And really the four issues, the first issue is our kids. Randy Mills is an electrician. He's a successful businessman. He knows many people in the trades. And he said, you know, we need to bring back vocational technical training for our kids because, you know, many kids don't want to go to college. They want to go directly into the workforce. And I heard a story just recently of a tradesman who had worked very hard, who was frugal and invested wisely and has grown to a $9 million investment portfolio.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
You know, and I think that the trades have been kind of poo-pooed for a generation. And can I say that on
the air? Yeah,
okay. And I feel that people are hungry for that. So Randy, that whole group, Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant, you know, really have a heart for that. And now you see the other side say, hey, we're for vocational training. Well, where were they? You know, and then secondly, this group, Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant, you know, want families to have options for their kids' education. When you look at the other side's slate, they don't even talk about families. And I'm wondering, whose kids are they? Are they the teachers' unions or are they families and parents? And then thirdly, you know, rewarding teachers for a job well done, respecting and valuing teachers. And I think that that is done through freedom versus through a forced union. And then lastly, the other side is looking for a carte blanche tax increase. And about 70%, 70 to 80% of the voters in Douglas County do not have children in the school. And a survey also showed that they do not trust the school board with the finances right now. And so instead of a carte blanche tax increase, we need this group of Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant to get in and really understand the finances and build trust with the community and nothing can happen regarding any kind of a conversation about taxes until that is done. So big difference, carte blanche tax increase or thoughtful approach to community finances.
Well, I think copycatting is the best form of flattery, right? I mean, you know, we know that Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant actually care about the kids. They care about the education. They care about school options and opportunities and vacation, other options other than college for those kids that don't, may not want to go that way and take all of that debt on. And we've had them on a couple of times and heard that from them from the very beginning. But, you know, Kim, it sounds to me like what's happening in the Douglas County School Board on the other side is that they're just doing what politicians do. You know, they say one thing that they think you want to hear without backing it up, and they think that you're not going to do your research to figure out what they really mean. But they're doing it in a different way. Normally, what politicians do is they say, oh, we're going to give everything for free, and it's going to be great, and you're going to be able to keep your doctor, and your rates are going to go down, and blah, 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 blah. So what they say is actually a bold-faced lie that nobody will know until it's too late and you've lost your doctor three times and your premiums have gone up three times and what have you. But they say it with smiley faces. And so then you believe them because it's so kind and it seems fair and share and nice and great. And, mm-hmm. and unicorns are going to be jumping out all over the place. And healthcare is going to be free. But healthcare has never been as expensive as when they've been promising it for free. And I'm just giving an example. Let's go back to the school board race. For these other slates to say that they are for what these guys have been talking about all this time, you got to go look at their websites, look at what they've been saying, listen to the interviews, listen to where they come from and their background. I mean, Randy Mills, didn't his father start like the vocational educational training in Europe or something when he was with the military?
And the Department of Defense in Munich, Germany. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so we can't just look at a pretty postcard and listen to a tagline and go, that's it. I'm going with that one. We have to do our research. But that's the point. So, Kimmy, tell them where do they need to go get more information and the truth. And who should they be voting for if they believe that parents should choose the education for their kids rather than the government?
Well, that would be the Elevate slate. And the website is Elevate Douglas County. And those candidates are, and you need to elect all four of them, is Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deborah Scheffel, and Grant Nelson. And Molly, to your point, the other side is now saying that they're for choice, but they get to choose. Mm-hmm. They would get to choose the choices. And you saw what is happening in Jeffco right now with the school board members say they're for choice, but then they start to choke the charters, these public charters, by the fees that they're charging the charters or not putting all the per pupil funding to them.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's very important. As you say, the stakes are very high. So it's Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deb Scheffel, and Grant Nelson, the Elevate slate, Douglas County.
Mm-hmm. And one thing to remember on that as well, you know, there is a Supreme Court case here in Colorado that's going to decide the Blaine Amendment, religious liberty, is public funds allowed to go towards all types of schools or only government schools? And is the government here allowed to only give money to certain groups?
Well, the Blaine Amendment was
the prejudice against religious organizations, and we want everybody to be treated the same.
The Blaine Amendment was founded back in the 1800s. It was founded on discrimination towards sectarian Catholics. Mm-hmm. And it's embedded in probably 30-plus constitutions, state constitutions. And so one of the members of the other slate brought a suit against Douglas County regarding a scholarship program. The scholarship program would say, and it was just 500 kids, we're just going to try it out. They said that they would give, you could apply for the scholarship. If more than 500 kids applied, it would go into a lottery, and that those families would get 75% of the per pupil funding, and then they could choose where they would send their children. And the school kept 25%. And we have been doing this across the board. Take a look at the GI Bill. The GI Bill is public funds where the individual chooses where they spend that. But this other side says if they are elected that they don't even want an answer to that, the question that they asked, which is astounding. Mm-hmm. And so it is that's very important as well.
Yeah, the Supreme Court's already ruled on it, and so the Colorado Supreme Court should rule the same way, but that case will not continue if the new slate in Doug Coe doesn't win. Well, Randy, Ryan, Devin, yeah. And Green.
Actually, what they did is they, in light of the...
they're holding on the case.
Yeah, in light of the... Trinity Lutheran case, that's the Supreme Court case.
Right.
In light of that, the Supreme Court kicked this case back down to the Colorado Supreme Court.
Right.
They kicked it back down and then for some reason brought it back up. So it's at the Colorado Supreme Court right now.
Yeah. But it will not continue with the right. Colorado Supreme Court unless this slate of four and Doug Coe wins.
Because the other four are on the record saying that they would not pursue that
case.
And
actually one of them, I think, is the plaintiff.
Is the plaintiff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So vote for Randy, Ryan, Deb, and Grant if we didn't tell you what we thought. Now you knew. So
you knew and you know.
Yeah. So another thing, you know, talking about teachers, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have on the phone with us here Joshua Scharf. He's a fiscal policy analyst at II and the head of the PARA Project. And that's the Public Employees Retirement Account. And basically, you know, we the people normally when you work in the private market, you get to put your money away for your retirement. You decide where it goes. You're in control of those funds. You take whatever risks you think are best for you and your family. But if you work for the government as a teacher, as a firefighter, as a policeman, all different types of areas, then your retirement funds are managed by someone other than yourself. You don't have control. And they have been abusing that power recently, and their money is way underfunded. So now PARA has come up with a new solution, and they're going to present it to us. So we're going to have Joshua Scharf explain what the problem was, how much money they're missing, how much they need to make up, and what are their solutions, because we care about solutions. It's the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Stick with us, and we'll come back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's getting scary time, Halloween, and if you didn't get a memo that you're not allowed to wear what you want to, then go ahead and just break the law, because we're not in California yet. So anyways, 88 Drive-In, the historic 88 Drive-In, Susan Koshevar is a dear friend of ours and a great sponsor of the AmeriChicks show, so thank you to her. And you just heard her commercial. I wanted to let you know the movies that are going to be playing starting tomorrow at the 88 Drive-In. We are going to have Blade Runner 2049. Flatliners, the remake. I loved the first, but it was so scary I couldn't watch it again. I could only watch that stuff when I was young and didn't realize that kind of stuff really was.
Could happen.
Can happen. And then American Made is the last one. So go check out the 88 Drive-In.
Yep.
Yep. So like we said before we went to break, we're going to go ahead and switch gears now and talk about PARA and the Public Employee Retirement Account. And basically, anyone who works for a private company, you work for yourself or you work for a private company, then you have the opportunity every paycheck to take money out of your paycheck and put it away into your account. And you decide, are you going to put it into mutual funds or stocks? You know, what do you want to invest in? Do you want it risky? Do you want it pretty mellow? You know, what do you want? And then you can change that on your own at your own discretion as you get older and as things change, as you should be able to, because it's your money. You earned it. It's for your future. Now, if you work for the government in one form or another, teacher, firefighter, policeman, and you know the list goes on, you may have a defined benefit plan, and that is managed by someone other than you. And what they do is they're guaranteeing you a benefit in the future. And to guarantee you a benefit in the future, which of course they have no idea what that would be, they put into place different analytics. What do they think the rate of return is going to be? How many years is it going to be? You know, what is that going to look like? Now, here in Colorado, looks like they didn't do their analytics very well, and they've had some bad news. And so they are definitely underfunded, and they have been going on a listening tour to come up with some solutions. They are just starting to present those solutions to the public now. So we have invited Joshua Scharf in studio with us to kind of break down PARA, what was the problem to begin with, and what are the solutions we're going to start hearing this week. So Joshua Scharf, thank you for joining the AmeriChicks.
It is my pleasure to be back. Great to see you guys.
Great to have you here.
We always love it when you're here. Now, you're a fiscal policy analyst at Independence Institute right here in Denver, and you're the head of the PARA project, right?
That's right. That's right. I've been working on this for about 5 years for them. So it's been, we saw this coming a while back. A fellow named Penn Fiffner, you know, sort of conspiratorially brought me aside at one of the Republican conventions and said, Josh, got some interesting you might want to work on.
I said, yeah, that's 5 years ago, good. Huh?
Yeah. And he got me, he wrote me, so it's all his fault. So he got me roped into this. And for somebody who's, you know, a numbers guy and a politics guy, it's a perfect marriage of numbers and policy. It's a lot of fun to work on. Although I wish it were more fun. Or in some sense, I wish it weren't quite so much fun, because the fun part is telling people how bad things are. So I wish maybe it weren't so fun.
You know, Joshua, we're talking with Joshua Scharf. It seems like I had, over the past few years, that I'd seen that there was a lack of transparency in trying to get these numbers. Has that been difficult, or how's that journey been?
Now, transparency hasn't really been too much of an issue with PARA for what I do. Now, they actually put together a really nice CAFR, which is the annual financial statement. Mm-hmm. They tend to do real well on the reports and so forth for what I need. Now, there have been some issues with stuff that our state treasurer has wanted to do. Walker Stapleton, who actually sits on the board of PARA as the state treasurer, he wanted to take a look at some of the sort of highly compensated employees and how much money they were bringing down in terms of their own retirement. And the PARA board not only fought him on that, they went to court to keep him from getting that information. And ultimately, the state Supreme Court ruled in their favor that they did not have to give him that information. To give you an example, you were just talking about schools and school, but you're talking about the Douglas County. Mm-hmm. Is that your car there with the name of the slate on the back of it? Yeah. there's also an election going on in Jeffco. And the previous but two superintendent in Jeffco retired with an annual benefit of $200,000 a year. All right, that's an annual benefit. That's a retirement benefit of $200,000 a year. Now, you know, she was there for 40 years. She certainly didn't, you know, not earn something. But Walker was particularly interested in high earners and how they might be influencing the system and how that might be affecting the system's finances. He had some transparency issues. I haven't necessarily had those with the kind of work that I do.
Okay, I'm going to throw a number out here, because this is something, you know, I sat on City Council of Lone Tree, and I actually sat on the audit committee. And one of the things that you see regarding these reports are you're starting to see the boards, whoever it is, want to show the liabilities on these balance sheets.
Well, they don't want to. They have to. A new GASP, Government Accounting Standard Board, requires you to show, if you're a PARA organization, It requires you to show your proportional portion of that unfunded liability. Statewide, it's about $50 billion. I get a feeling you're getting ready to tell me what your portion of that is.
You know, it wasn't too bad at that time with Lone Tree, but the point is I think it's good to have the transparency. But Joshua, I think the next step is that they're going to go to the taxpayer and say, this is your responsibility.
Oh, well, it's always assumed to be the taxpayer's responsibility at some level. The way that the court rulings in a nutshell work on this is it's not like Social Security, which is where the benefit that you get is just in a law. And so if Congress, you know, next year decides they want to raise the retirement age or reduce the benefits, they can just pass a law and then the president can sign that. And that's how it works. Supreme Court has held that that's not a contractual relationship. That's just a legal formula.
Well, it's certainly not contractual because we didn't choose to go into that contract. I know, I sure didn't.
Right. No, I understand. But
wanted to angrily point that out.
Even from a principle point of view, it shouldn't be considered a contract, right?
Right.
In this case, though, the courts have held that PERA, because it's the PERA functions or public pensions function as a contract between the employers, the state or the school board or the school district, whoever, and the employees who are members of that plan. And so core benefits, however that gets defined, whatever that means, but it generally means, you know, your base benefit is a guaranteed benefit. And so ultimately, ultimately that benefit that risk falls substantially on the taxpayers in the state.
Now, Joshua, I've also thought a lot about this. So we're talking about the former superintendent of Jefferson County. You said that they are receiving $200,000, in their pension benefits now.
Yep.
Okay. I think that it's important for people to understand what kind of a portfolio you would have to build to get, you know, to have income coming off of a portfolio to generate that kind of income. So is 3% a fair rate of return to say, okay, I mean, it's a little high, isn't it?
This is you're setting the up with this, you know, so I can spike this at the net. Yeah. PERA generally, at the beginning of 2000 was assuming an 8.75% of return. This is about 17 years ago. They've been dropping that over time. They currently assume a 7.25% rate of return. The actual cumulative rate of return from 2000 until today, until through 2016, so the 17-year rate of return is 5.4%.
Okay.
Now, if it turns out, I went back and just sort of did some, you know, ran a back of the envelope calculation. If they had made their annual rate of return every year from 2000 through 2017, they would be pretty close to fully funded. Okay.
Okay. My other point.
Oh. They haven't done that.
Okay.
Right? And they will say, well, you know, our 30-year rate of return is less. Yeah. You know what you're doing? You're coasting on the 90s. Mm-hmm. It is rate of return, you know, on the boom that came in at the late 80s and the 90s. So, yeah, you know, you're getting 16, 17, 20% a year for a whole bunch of years there. Well, those years are going to start dropping off and those numbers are going to start.
Some risk with that. The other point I wanted to make, though, is for regular everyday people like us, you know, we're paying taxes, mm-hmm. we're paying our taxes, we're paying the taxes for this, we're paying all these taxes. And so in order for us to work hard and to build a portfolio after paying those taxes, I mean, it takes planning, it takes some risk. But
when you say 3%, you mean 3% of income like that you would put into your. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's
well,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's say if you're getting $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
What size of portfolio would you have to have at 3%? You have a portfolio, you want $200,000 off, you'd have to have a portfolio worth $6.6 million. Okay,
that sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
And if we use the PERA return 5.54, you would have to build a portfolio of $3.6 million. So my point is this superintendent didn't take any risk to build a portfolio or anything,
right,
but is
right.
getting this income,
right.
which the regular people like us would have to build a portfolio to get that kind of income of anywhere from 3.6 to 6.6 million.
Well, most of us work on, as you point out, what would be considered a defined contribution plan. And that's money that you put away. And maybe your employer matches that. Maybe your employer doesn't match it. An IRA sort of functions as a mm-hmm. defined contribution plan. You're putting away dollars and then you have whatever the balance is mm-hmm. at that when you decide to stop contributing and start taking money out of that. These old-fashioned pension plans are things that most companies abandoned years ago. Some of the larger companies still have them, but because they're considered so risky, the federal government actually has a board that reinsures these pension plans called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And this thing exists basically to backstop these legacy defined benefit plans. It turns out that even some of the better funded European, but the Europeans, by the way, do a much, much better job of funding their pensions. They also have, for their public employees, they also have defined benefit plans. They do a much better job of funding their pensions than we do. And even some of them are looking at converting these over from defined benefit to defined contribution. I want to say the Netherlands, recently came out with a recommendation that they move from a DB, a defined benefit, to a defined contribution plan. So you're even going to start to see this in other countries, and we really have no business holding on to these legacy, this sort of dinosaur plan that puts the taxpayers on the hook for the investment risk.
Mm-hmm. So we take investment risks to build our businesses. We take investment risk in our portfolios, and then we take on investment risk with PERA. Is that
right?
Overstating
and
it?
It is not overstating it. And in fact, you have to pay your taxes first, right? Before you can put any money away, which means that you have to pay your portion of this before you can even begin to save for your own retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also have to give our own money towards Social Security, which is not a guarantee that it's going to come back to us either.
Right. Right. No, that's true, too. And that's actually that's an important point, to be fair to the employees here. PERA functions because it is a more generous plan than Social Security is. It took advantage, and it was founded in 1931. That is, PERA was, where Social Security was founded a few years later. And they wrote into the law that if you were in a plan that was more generous than Social Security is in terms of benefits, that the plan could be a substitute for Social Security. So it's worth pointing out that while people are working for a PERA employer, while they're working for the state and contributing money to the state, while they're working for a school district as a teacher and contributing money as a teacher, they are not putting money into Social Security, nor are they accruing Social Security benefits. So this acts in lieu of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to keep these promises and the, unfortunately, I wouldn't say extravagant, but the unreliability of these promises is a big deal, not just for the taxpayer, but for the members.
Okay, this is the AmeriChicks with Joshua Scharf. We're going to go to break. We're talking about PERA, and we'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
Are you concerned, perplexed about the events happening in America today? Where can you go for answers? Check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom, teach citizenship, and renew the spirit of 1776. Check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu.
Love is a burning
Denver's
thing.
Money Talk. First, the good news. The Dow today hit a new high. It's hit 4,000 milestones this year, and today it closed above 23,000.
Wow.
Woohoo! I'm in the money. I'm in the money. And then also today we also heard that I believe unemployment, new unemployment filings are at an all-time low since 1973, I believe. Yep. So that's awesome news. That's great news. I was in the retirement plan industry back in the day. I was in the 401k industry, though, defined contribution, because I wanted to make sure that middle income and lower income people actually had the knowledge they needed to know how to invest their money for the future, save and build their own nest egg so they don't have to rely on anybody else, not the government, not the taxpayers, nobody. Make your own decisions. And so I think that's very important, and that's good news for us, because in 2008, all of a sudden, my 401k became a 201k, and I've been struggling to get back ever since, right? And so, you know, I'm happy with this new news. But then, you know, let's talk about Para. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we have in studio with us Joshua Scharf. He is a fiscal policy analyst at the Independence Institute here in Colorado, and he's the head of their PARA project. Now, PARA provides retirement and other benefits to more than 560,000 current and former teachers, state troopers, snowplow drivers, corrections officers, and other public employees, right?
Yes.
And so they found out recently that the bad news for their retirement plans, because they were starting to get into the orange, and you know, their rates of return they were assuming were too high, and they were underfunded by a lot of money. So Joshua Scharf, we had you on before and you started warning us. Now you're here because PARA is coming out with their solutions.
Right.
So share with us the new solutions that PARA is recommending and then your take on those.
All right. So their solutions basically have five significant components. There are other smaller pieces as well, but the most important components are that they will increase the employee contributions by 3 percentage points. Most employees currently pay 8%. They will raise that to 11% for employees. And for new employees, they will raise that to 10%. So new employees will pay in 2 additional points. Existing employees will pay 3 additional points. Employers, taxpayers, you and me, will put in another 2%. And it's worth noting that along with the changes, that because of the changes, I should say, made in 2004, 2006, and 2010, so this is not the first time, this is not our first rodeo with PARA having a problem. You and I will be putting in somewhere upwards of 23% of salary into PARA.
Okay, real quick question on that. Are they going to have to go through Tabor? Are they going to go to a vote of the people to increase our taxes to give an additional 2% towards PARA? Or are they going to take that from the general fund that's already there?
They will take that from, that will just come out of budgets.
Okay.
So then if somebody says, well, we need a tax increase in order to handle all that, then that's a separate question. Okay. But this is just the required contribution.
Well, and I think it's important that people understand that this really, when we're talking about school finance, this really squeezes.
Absolutely.
And so, for example, I think that number is about right regarding in Douglas County. I think it's been at 20% what the taxpayers had to contribute. So another 2 will put us at 22.
It's scheduled to go up another bit as well for the SAEDs. The 2006 increases were scheduled to go up another bit this year as well. So it'll be around 23% total.
Okay. So the taxpayer, so we have a teacher, you know, and we're talking about pay for teachers. And I think we'd like to increase and reward teachers for a job well done. But instead, we're having to put money into PARA to kind of bail that out.
So we will do this. Let me hold that thought.
Okay.
I'll go through the other elements of their proposed reform, and then we'll talk a little bit about why, despite all of the union protests and some of the superintendent protests, this is not a good deal for teachers.
That number one?
That was number one and number two. Number three is they will increase the highest average. Your benefit is calculated based on highest average salary. So that over 3 years currently. They were going to increase that, I believe, for new employees to 5 years. So new and invested to 5 years. So that will be that obviously will lower the average, and it will also lower the incentive to game the system to go from, you know, part time to full time for the last 3 years. And if you want to do that, you have to do, you know, 5 years. So there are some reductions in the incentive to game the system to do that. And then the point number four is they will raise the retirement age, the age at which you are eligible for full benefits, from 60 to 65. And finally, I don't believe they have the details of this worked out yet, but they want to keep the amortization period, that is the amount of time before which PERA would be fully funded, if you just sort of wound it up and let it go, which their projections would say that it would be fully funded. The standard is to keep that under 30 years. If it goes above 30 years, they want to put in automatic, turns of the screw to automatically increase employee and employer contributions in order to keep that number under 30 years. It's a metric that they try to operate toward.
So this is money that's not going to the classroom. This is money that's going to PERA.
That's right. It is currently about 12.5% or so of many of the big school districts that are right around here, Douglas County, Jefferson County, Adams County. It is roughly 12.5% or so of operating costs right now are going into PERA. That's $1.08 that is not making it to the classroom.
Wow.
Yeah. And that will go up a little bit, obviously, if they're required to pay more. Another reason that this is not such a great deal for teachers is that if you look at PERA's own PERA, one of the things they publish in their CAFR is the percentage of people that are expected to leave the system over the next year. For the first 4 years of employment. So because you vest after 5 years, right? So you fully vest after 5 years, PERA will publish and say, well, you know, how many people leave between 0 and 1 year? How many people leave after 2 years, leave after 3 years? It turns out that only roughly 1/3 of teachers will ever vest fully in this system. Okay, only 1/3.
Wow.
The system, the Urban Institute did a, and it's a left leaning, although they're not ideology, they're not ideologues, they're left leaning think tank that did a national survey on pension plans. And PERA just does, it's great, you know, if you stick around for 40 years, if you're short term, if you're younger, it does not do a good job of rewarding teachers. So that's a problem. It's not a good deal for them. They would do much better to have something like a defined contribution plan. And in fact, that is our recommendation. You say, well, Josh, all you've done is complain. You know, this doesn't work. That doesn't work. You don't like this. You're Cassandra here. The system's falling apart. What's your recommendation? So our recommendation is that we take this defined benefit plan and we tie it off. We apply a tourniquet. If you want to think of this well, you know, we take Red-A-Dare and we go and we cap the well. You remember Red-A-Dare?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we cap the well and we cap this thing off and we take new employees and non-vested employees and we put them in a defined contribution plan. We say, look, now you're going to have a piece of an asset. You're going to know how much it is. If you want to put in more so that your retirement is secure, you can do that. We'll match some of it. And it's not unreasonable to have some matching. That's fair enough. Most employers offer that. But you can, it provides real portability and it provides a real knowledge, a secure knowledge of where somebody stands instead of sort of giving promises and then having to take that away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the arguments against that, so there are a couple of arguments against it. One of them is, well, you know, you're just a shill for the big Wall Street firms that just want to get their hands on the fees. You know, part of the reason PERA does so well in terms of the difference between defined benefit and defined contribution plans or 401k plans is because the fees are low. And they're right. That's a big part of the problem. That's a big part of their advantage. They say, fine, let PERA be the let PERA, you know, set up another fund and they can with a similar portfolio and they can continue to invest this money. I don't necessarily think they're doing a terrible job investing the money. If somebody wants to continue to manage this, obviously have to be separate from the defined mm-hmm. benefit plan. If they want to continue to invest this money, manage this money, that's fine. And then they can earn that trust and that loyalty from their members and continue to invest that. There's no reason why somebody should have to send money. I'm not working for Goldman Sachs. My interest is the state of Colorado. The other thing is people will say, well, then we're stuck having to, you know, we still have to pay off this unfunded liability. That's absolutely true. You know, right now that thing sits on the books anyway at about $50 billion.
In Colorado,
yeah, $50 billion.
Why do we have to pay that off?
Well, because that's the pension debt. I mean, that's the promises that have been made for which we do not have the money in the bank.
Right.
So if you take existing members would stay. You can't break those promises legally. Those are the court rulings, right? So we're sort of stuck with that.
Okay. So, interesting conversation. We are with Joshua Scharf, and we're talking about PARA. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. And really got my thinking cap going here on this, Joshua. So we will go to break. We'll be right back.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell him the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Well, you know, it's that thing about money since you're listening to Denver's Money Talk Radio right now with the AmeriChicks on KDMT. You know, you got to have more and more and more in your pocket so that you can afford to start a business, so that you can actually create wealth, so that the government can then steal it and do whatever they want to with it. So, and we want more entrepreneurs out there. And we know that when you start a business, you don't have a lot of extra income to hire your own IT team. So I just wanted to recommend AmeriChicks friend Bill Iman. He started this company, EvanYourITGuy.com. Check it out. EvanYourIT.com is a EvanYourITGuy.com is a network of IT professionals, and they provide on-demand help with your computer needs 24/7, no matter what. Hardware, software, you know, slow memory, whatever your problem is. Everything. Well, Kimmy usually wakes up in the middle of the night and goes and knocks on her neighbor's door and asks if they can help. And after being thoroughly scared with her rollers in her hair, just teasing. So this way you don't have to embarrass yourself, Kimmy.
Okay.
You get up in the middle of the night, you need some help, you call Evan, your IT guy, anytime, and they will help you. Also, the really great thing is that they are looking for veterans to hire. So if you know any veteran friends that are IT specialists, get them in touch with Evan, your IT guy. Lastly, you want to be on their email list for what's going on. So go to their website and scroll to the bottom under Discover, click on Free Webcam Cover, fill out the contact form, mention the AmeriChicks, and they will send you a free webcam cover so that if you are like Kimmy in your rollers and you're Skyping with somebody, you can just click it and nobody can look at you. And then when you want them to look at you,
you're grounded.
Evan,
you are grounded. Grounded. Evan. Okay.
Right.
So Let's get back to the serious conversation here. Joshua Scharf, it always goes way too quickly when you're in studio. No, I say you are a really, really smart guy is what I say.
Well, thank you for doing all this homework,
too. Yeah, this is important.
So we're talking about para.
Yeah. Right.
So then the question is, what do you do with this large unfunded liability that's mm-hmm. still sitting out there? And of course, para will say that, you know, they did a study and it would require $800 million a year of additional money just to keep. Well, you know, not really. There were some, you can still amortize that over a 30-year period. You can still say, well, we'll take 30 years to pay that off. You can continue to have, what you can do is you can say, well, you know, we have this SAED, this supplemental payment that balloons it up to the amount that we're putting in per employee. It balloons it up to 23%. And so fine. So I will take 20 percentage points of that and I will continue to put it into para and, or, you know, however much, say 17, let's keep it at 20%, 17 percentage points of that. And I'll put it into para. And the 3% that would be going to this particular employee's obligations, that'll just be a match into the defined contribution plan. You can continue. I mean, yes, there may have to be some increased pain in the short run to get that number down. But the fact is, it's no pain that doesn't arrive as a result of the system that PERA wants to keep in place. And they want to keep in place a defined benefit plan that is going to continue to keep taxpayers at risk and continue to keep our services, our schools, our infrastructure, our communities at risk, and put them at loggerheads with their own employees, you know, but put them in contention with their own employees for these resources. So that number will go down over time, right? That will get paid off over time and it will go away and people will instead be transitioned, new employees. And in fact, you could even do this with existing employees. You say, well, you know, you've been a teacher for 20 years. We've never given you the opportunity to participate in the defined contribution plan. We're going to let you do that now if you want, and then, you know, find some formula where they're willing to trade off, you know, some amount of money in the future for what they know now. And you could even pull people over in that way as well. So the fact is that, yes, you still have to pay this off, but that's going to happen anyway. You know, that's going to happen if you stay in the defined benefit plan. The risk is this thing gets larger. You know, right now, what caused all of this alarm, what set off the alarm bells was that in, was it 20 years, 2037? I think that's right, 2037. PERA will, you know, was scheduled to get decreasingly funded, you know, increasingly, and then there's going to be a bend in the curve and it's going to get better funded. That funding level, which is currently at less than 60%, that is to say, we only have 60 cents on hand for every dollar's worth of promises that we have made, was going to fall below 20%. So we were going to have less than 20 cents on hand for every dollar of promises we made about 20 years from before that number begins to rise again, right? You stay in that system, you are absolutely putting us at risk for seeing this again. And if you write into the law that employees and employers have to automatically kick in more money, taxpayers and employees have to automatically kick in more money if the thing becomes, you know, if the amortization period extends out, you're forcing them again. You know, it's nice in the sense that, you know, it actually accounts for this problem, but you're not giving them a way out. You're basically putting us permanently on the hook for this thing. I think the right thing is to just tie this off, move into a plan that is sustainable, where people know what they have, where people can be responsible for their own retirement, like the rest of us are, like everyone else. They're not going to be. It's fairer to employees, because they are not going to have their benefits at the mercy of politicians. It's fairer to communities, because we're not going to be putting ourselves, you know, our basic services
risk.
At risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joshua, I'm looking at the big picture here. I'm thinking of that young millennial that is out there that is trying to get a toehold. And I'm really troubled by what we are passing on to this next generation. Right now, this whole para thing is pretty cushy for people that have retired.
It can be.
When I talk about, you know, so let's say if you're going to make $75,000 a year, you know, at 3%, I had done the calculations on that.
One way of looking at it is that the average para benefit is somewhere around $3,000, a little over $3,000 a month. The average Social Security, the maximum Social Security benefit is, what, somewhere around $2,200, $2,300 a month. So, you know, if you stay in and you do well, if you stay in for a long time with para, you know, you will do better than you will do in Social Security.
Okay, so let's say if you're making $36,000 a year, and let's assume a 3% rate of return on a portfolio, that would be a portfolio of $1.2 million to get that kind of income off of that. And it takes work for people to get to that point, particularly millennials. So we're graduating kids on the education side with all this debt. So we're paying, mm-hmm. you know, professors and all there. Then the kids graduate. The housing costs are so high. Again, I would submit to you, because of public policy, you constrict the supply of mm-hmm. housing, and you bring more people in. And guess what? It gets more expensive.
That is absolutely
true.
So
then we wring our hands on that. Then these kids have to pay, 6.5% for Social Security and right. Medicare.
Well, it's higher than that if you include Medicare and Medicaid and the rest of it. Sure, it's like closer to 9, isn't it?
It may be. And then their employees kicking in that amount right. as well.
Right.
Okay, so then over here on this side, we're saying these kids are on the hook for all of these public employees as well. It's amazing to me that the kids have anything to eat as much as we're taxing them.
They Haven't you seen the homeless problem in Colorado?
Yeah.
If you think about even from a para member's perspective for the millennials, they're part of para's plan was to have them pay more in than they would be able to get out. And in order to have this thing, you know, be able to survive. So that was part of their plan. So it's generationally unfair. Also, most people, I wouldn't even say millennials, I would say most Gen Xers, people like me, expect portability and don't expect to be at the same job for 40 years or the same career for 40 years. I'm going to move around or do something different. Let me try something else. Let me work to be tethered to this as a promise, and then not even have that promise kept in full. It begins to look, as I say in the op-ed, it begins to look like a trap rather than a benefit.
I agree.
And so, you know, if you have something that is like a 401k, that's fully portable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someplace that's your money. You take and go someplace else.
Yeah, and you know, like with teachers, we look and we see that, like, the seniority thing, like, oh, they've been there for so long, you can't fire them, it doesn't matter what they do. And that's probably because they're tied to that para, to that retirement plan. They've been there for so long, it takes so long to get vested that you can't fire them or they'll lose everything. But what if it was just a DC plan? Because, you know, you can't give something and then take it away, Kim, and that's what the government does. It's so hard to do. But let's say that you're working and you think, if I work this long, I'm going to get this much of a retirement plan, and then all of a sudden, but I didn't get to manage that money, I don't have as much put aside. Now we find out they mismanaged the funds. They're going to increase my retirement age. I'm going to have to start putting more in. I'm going to get less out. I mean, why would that be fun anyway? Why don't we say, you know what? Let me do a DC plan, defined contribution, put my own money in. I'll manage it myself. And I bet you I'll make more than the $2,200 a month in retirement from Social Security and more than the $3,000 from para, because I got to manage my own money. And I got to move my money. It was portable. I went from one job to another because I increased my skills and I found a better industry elsewhere. Right?
No, it certainly gives people, it absolutely gives people more flexibility and more freedom to move from one to the other, in that sense that they're not tethered to a plan that may in fact never deliver for them. So that's really important to keep in mind as well. One thing that I do want to mention, because I know you have we're almost done. Yeah.
Yep.
But that I do want to mention before we go off the air, on December 20th, from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., that's December 20th, so it's a little way off, but it gives you plenty of time to plan. The South Metro Denver Chamber of Commerce is going to have a panel discussion on para, featuring para Executive Director Greg Smith and yours truly.
I like it.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's the kind of thing that lets us go back and forth, lets us talk about each other's points, each other's arguments, and it puts it in front of, you know, it's very easy for me to talk in front of conservative groups all day. It's a nice, it's open to people. It's a nice broad cross section of the business community, and not even just the business community. And so if people want to put that on their calendars, they should do that.
Okay. That's Joshua Scharf. And Joshua, don't you have a website?
I do, but the best place to go is the Independence Institute.
Okay.
I2I.org, and most of my Paris stuff is up there.
Okay, great. And we're going to do a Calvin Coolidge quote because it is about teaching. He says, teaching is one of the noblest of professions. It requires an adequate preparation and training, patience, devotion, and a deep sense of responsibility. Those who mold the human mind have wrought not for time, but for eternity. That's Calvin Coolidge.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. We'll see you tomorrow, World War II Day, right here, KDMT.